You are listening to the strongest podcast in CrossFit. This is the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. Before we start the show, I'd like to thank the sponsors that are helping this podcast grow. The first one is Liberté Lifestyle. Liberté Lifestyle have the best knee sleeves in the game. I've worn all different types of knee sleeves, and I always go back to Liberté. They're super durable, they don't rip, and they last a very, very long time. So go check out Liberté Lifestyle and check out all the different styles of knee sleeves that they have. And then the next one we have is Hero Barbell. Hero Barbell is the fastest growing barbell company in the functional fitness community. Their barbells have all different colors, all different designs, super comfortable. The knurlings are amazing, and the spin on these barbells are absolutely insane. So go to Hero Barbell to check out all the different type of barbells that they have in stock. And then the last one is Sharpen the Axe. Sharpen the Axe, I've been wearing their clothes for multiple years. They're long sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, shorts. I always wear them. You may have even seen them on the podcast before they became a sponsor. Super comfortable. The shorts I always wear working out because I just feel like they're a better fit for me compared to the Nikes or any other shorts in the game. So all these companies, I have a promo code. It's all type one. So click type one in all the promo code sections and you get 10% off of every item you get. So once again, thank you for these companies to help this podcast grow, and let's go to the show. All right, guys, I am outnumbered with 3-1. So welcome to the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. I'm your host, Thomas Lennon. I have 3 CrossFit athletes, female CrossFit athletes, in the podcast today. First time ever, so I'm really excited about this. On the top, I have Aaliyah Miller. On the bottom, I have Hannah Hardy. And then on the other side, I have Kelly Kelly. So what's going on, ladies?
Hello there. How are you? It's kind of nice not being the only girl on the podcast, not gonna lie.
I know. Like when we were I wanted to do something like this for a while. I just thought, like, since, like, you know, Xander and Vic couldn't make it. So I was like, okay, I think this is right now a great time to get, like, the outnumbered podcast going on. So I'm really excited about this, about all the topics, quarterfinals, teams, like all this kind of stuff. But typically for the ladies that haven't done this, we usually go over like what's been going on for the past month. I know, Kelly, we've talked recently. So, but yeah. Aaliyah, I know you moved to Nevada. You're in a tiny house now. So what was the reason for the move, and what are you doing?
So I was out in Kansas and I just couldn't afford to really stay there anymore. Rent was getting too expensive. I was training alone every day and that was starting to get old. So it was kind of at the point where I was like, well, do I quit CrossFit or quit competitive CrossFit and get a real grown-up job? That might be my only option. And then Sean Sweeney posted about looking for somebody to come out, coach for him, train with him, and in return, live in a tiny house on his property. And so I sent him a message. He responded about 4 months later. But here I am living in a tiny house in Sean's front yard. I coach at his gym, CrossFit Power Stroke, and now I get to train with him and the crew that we have out here. And it's been awesome. I'm so happy to be here.
That's awesome. So for a tiny house, like how small is this tiny house?
It's like a shed. So I'm in my living room right now, which is also my dining room, my kitchen, my closet. And then I've got a loft upstairs where my bed is. That's about it.
Is it like 800 feet? Like, is it like maybe like to like 13 feet by 13 or something like that?
If I had to estimate, I'm really bad at estimating these things. Maybe like 20 feet by 10 feet, something like that.
Damn. Okay. Okay. So it's like a New York City apartment for like $3,000. Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. So how is it training with Sean Sweeney? I know you said it was good.
So much fun.
Yeah.
John's a good dude.
He is.
Yeah. He's a lot of fun to be around. He's an awesome coach and an awesome training partner. When I first got here, he was kicking my ass pretty bad in every workout. And then after a couple months, I actually beat him for the first time in regionals Linda. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. And then that was maybe like 2 months ago. And since then I've beaten him a handful of times. He still kicks my ass a lot. But it's pretty cool to be able to hang with him and, definitely get a push from him and hopefully push him a little bit sometimes.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Let me add Kelly back. So
guys, I don't know what happened.
Okay. All good. It happens. It's StreamYard once in a while. So no worries. So, well, that's awesome. So,
he told me he had to drink a full thing of salsa.
Yes. Our agreement was the first time I beat him in a workout, he had to chug a pint of salsa.
So is it like
on my Instagram?
Is it like super spicy or is it like just regular mild stuff?
It's like a mild green salsa.
Oh my gosh, but still.
Yikes. Still. As Sean's all about his bets though.
Yeah, honestly, the way that he chugged any liquid is very impressive.
So has he challenged you like a drinking competition once? Like, you know, obviously not now, but like, you know, when you got there, like, hey, let's party.
Sorry, you cut out for a second. What was that?
No, you're good. So did Sean like, you know, give you like a drinking competition with like you and him together, like, because he's so competitive?
No, I don't drink.
Okay.
So no.
Okay.
Well, all right. Okay, that's not true. We had a competition that we ran through the gym last weekend. And at the end of the competition, the MC that came out, his name's Joel, and he always does a Topo Chico challenge at the end of the competition. So Sean and I partnered for that. But since I don't drink, Sean drank both the Topo Chicos and I did most of the rowing. And we did not win, but that's because we were competing against like 215-pound men on a rower. So sorry, Sean.
So what is it like coaching at this place compared to the Cobra Command where you were before?
It's very different. It's a very small town here. I'm in Fallon, Nevada. I think the population is like 8,000. And so it's very much small town vibes. We're like an hour from Reno, but there's nothing out here besides Fallon. And like half of our gym is the volunteer fire department. So it's, in some ways it's a little more laid back because it's not like, in Kansas, it felt like we were always having to, figure out how to be the best CrossFit gym in the area because we were always competing with other CrossFit gyms in the area. We're the only CrossFit gym in Fallon. So it's much less pressure of like, how do we make ourselves better than the other gyms? And it's more like, how do we make this the best experience for our members, which is a lot more fun, I think. But it's been really great. The community here is awesome.
That's awesome. That's great. That's great. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but Hannah, what have you been up to since last time we were talking?
Well, I guess, I did team quarterfinals. That was fun. We qualified for semis. So, excited to go to Knoxville. Very exciting. Man, I don't know what else I talked about. Like, I don't know what else has been up. It's pretty much just me like establishing my, you know, sports chiropractic practice, or at least my part within the one I joined. And, that's in CrossFit. That's
you have something else, but you haven't talked about your YouTube channel.
Oh my God. So guys, I just post videos of my rehab exercises and I see Tom comment on them all the time and he's been giving me advice, but I just post them So I can just send the link to my patients to be like, hey, this is the exercise that we went over today. And yeah, I will say one has blown up, which I don't know why it did.
Barefoot.
It is barefoot.
Yeah, you gotta go barefoot.
30,000 views, which I don't know where the internet's going, but I'll take it because I don't know. Maybe at some point I could actually monetize off of it and get some more income coming in. So that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. So you know what's shocking? If you do more barefoot videos, I guarantee that's gonna go off because like my wife, like I've talked about this before. So she's a fashion influencer for Amazon as well as like Instagram and stuff like that. She's got like 315,000 followers on Instagram. It's insane. It just kills it. And every time she posts like an outfit with like open toed shoes or like a bathing suit with the like open toe, like all the dudes are like, come get some, like, can I get some, like, just like, you know, like, you know, send me a picture of your feet, I'll pay you, blah blah blah. And it's like, it's insane. And I'm like, and Hannah, you should just go barefoot the whole time in your chiropractic office.
I mean, I should. I really like at some point. I mean, we specialize in a lot of runners. I mean, we're in a CrossFit gym, but where I live in Charlottesville, Virginia, in the very run centric community. So like, actually most of the stuff I do in is like barefoot or wear socks. I'm just gonna like throw off my socks and just let it take off at this point. Yep.
And you should do like close-ups too. Like, like, you know, like do like ankle rotation drills and like show your bare foot and then like, you know, nice.
I'm going to tell my boss this. So
yeah, slow.
He needs help film for this. So
yeah. Yeah.
If he wants his clinic to take off, if he really wants it on social media, I can be there for him.
That's, yeah. I
almost Toastmaster sponsorship.
Oh yes, yes, definitely. Yes.
I have them right here. Like I have my Toastmasters right here. They're just not on my feet.
Yeah. I have them too.
Are we about to turn this into a foot podcast?
No.
Only feet, no CrossFit, just how to blow up on social media with feet social media posts.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I almost wanted to take pictures of my wife's feet and post it on Feet Finder. And so just so I can get like another like, you know, source of revenue that's coming into the household.
It's an income, man.
Yeah. She's like, I do not do that. And I'm like, you know, we're missing out. We are missing out.
It could be a couple grand each month. You never know.
Yeah, I know. It'd be crazy. And then like, I could just like, you know, intertwine my feet here and there. And like, you know, maybe they'd appreciate that, you know, but anyway, but Kelly, so I know we've talked a couple weeks ago, but, how's everything going with you?
It's great. It's things are moving fast. I guess since we last talked, I've been offered a spot on seminar staff. So starting that journey.
Let's go.
Congratulations.
Let's go.
That's so cool.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Dude, that's like a dream of mine. So
it is. It's been a dream of mine for a really long time. Like I remember asking Pat Barber at my level 2 what it was going to take to get on seminar staff. And it's been like 5 years, 6 years since then. But we made it happen. Yeah, it was cool. Like as soon as I like started backing off the competition, like full-time training, that was the next goal. So it feels good to, you know, be in it. And granted, like just being accepted on staff is only like the start of a very intense growth journey.
Yeah.
There's a lot of learning ahead, but it's very exciting to.
At least the good thing is they want you to succeed. So it's not like they're just like trying to like get you fired or anything like that. It's just like, you know, I mean, they want more people to join the seminar staff. So it's like, obviously they're going to be harsh in some critiquing, but whatever. I mean, it's.
But that was like what I loved about the opportunity to be on seminar staff is that like, I don't know. You guys might have a feel for this, but like I'm a 6 a.m. coach. I'm like the morning shift. No one's around when I coach. I don't get feedback very often anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm the most experienced coach at my gym in terms of CrossFit. So like, there's not a lot of feedback for me. And like growth opportunities. So I love that part of it, that you're just surrounded by the best coaches in the world who have, you know, tons more experience than I do. And you're just getting like so much feedback, and you just like, it was really, it's really cool to see there's like, oh, there's like 10 more levels to go in coaching. And that's exciting. I love that.
Yeah, no, that's so cool. Like when I was in Atlanta, one of the gyms I coached at had someone on seminar staff, and then Chuck Carswell would come by like every so often and run L4s through the gym. Yeah. And I mean, it's so cool. Like, I love that. It's like, you will get feedback, and it's because they want you to improve, and they want to have people on staff that accept it. And at like the next, and then at the next seminar actually are able to implement it. And I mean, I know it's, that's so cool. I'm like, I'm very excited for you.
I love that. Yeah. No, I was the kid when I was younger, I would like go ask my coach, like, what can I do better? Where are my weaknesses? And if I got like a, you're doing great, keep it up, I'd be mad. I'd be like, no, that's not like, give me something to work on.
That's awesome.
It's like the perfect fit for seminar staff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are the requirements for you now? So I know since you're on there, so it's like every, like you have to do like one weekend a month or every weekend, or how's that work?
You can kind of like set your own availability. I'm not through like all of their onboarding processes yet. So I haven't seen like the actual system, but the way I understand it, you like set your availability. And there's like some combination of like, they can assign, you know, like assign you if you're available, or you can actually like request, like, I really want to do this seminar, you know, or I want to work this weekend or something like that. And, you know, based on locations and who's available and who has experience, you know, all that stuff, they'll factor all those things in.
Okay. So with the onboarding, do you have to send in fee picks too as well?
Yeah. Part of the interview process. Yeah. That was early on.
I don't know. That pinky toe looks a little suspect. I don't know. Like maybe we shouldn't send it to California. Maybe we should send her to Montana or something like that. Yeah, that sounds good.
No, I'm just thinking, I'm like, do you have to like move like James Hobart and Julie Fouché? Like, that's what I'm wondering. Like, that's like the spot check. It's like, they like line up a photo of James Hobart and just like look up at you back and forth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I did have a moment when I was, I had to demo back extensions. I think it was back extensions, something like it was. No, I had to demo like a squat where I was like super like hunched over. I had to demo it poorly.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it. I was like, I can't round my spine that much. They're like, more, make it look worse. And I'm like, I don't.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, that's awesome. Congratulations. I'm really psyched for you. So I know during the podcast, you were really excited about, you know, trying to get on the seminar staff. So that's awesome. But so let's go to the news kind of. So Hannah, you just finished competing in the team quarterfinals. So how did your team do and what did you think about the workouts?
So, I mean, we did great. We got 12th. I mean, we went in like technically ranked like 31st. So, hey, I'll take that. I know that teams like, of course, use individual athlete scores to kind of like inflate their team, but I mean, I'll definitely take that confidence boost going in the semis. And I actually thought they were like pretty good workouts. I was like, it was really hard to really, there weren't many like individual like aspects of things. Like, it was team related. You couldn't like hide somebody. You could like in some movements, but other movements, like take the toe to bar dumbbell snatch workout, all that was synchro. Even on the front squat, the burpee front squat ring muscle up one. Even if you had someone that was weak on the rings, like, you can't overtax the person that's good at ring muscle ups because they'll also blow up. So I really did like that there was strategy, there was actually team workouts. I was pretty wrecked by the deadlift one, not gonna lie. That was basically trying to do RDLs as fast as possible. and hold on to a bar for shoulder overhead. So that was kind of like wonky. And there's probably a lot of questionable reps from like everybody, all teams, including mine. Like watching the video, I'm like, I tried to extend, man. Like I tried to lock out every one of my joints. But when, you know, like one rep can be so many places in a workout like that, like you just have to move fast. So that might be like my only complaint, but all in all, I actually thought it was pretty decent.
Okay. All right. Awesome. That's cool. And which one was probably your favorite, you think, for your team?
For my team. Okay, I'll give two workouts. One is workout three. We tied in three and four, but workout three, it was awesome execution. Like I think all of us were just like firing on all cylinders. And then we actually had to redo it and we tied our time. We had to redo it because of a video error, which was very unfortunate, but like ended up, so like the do like to hit like a workout like that, like out of the park twice, without like blowing up on handstand pushups. Like that was, we couldn't ask for anything better. I think we girls like the barbell workout, the guys definitely, 205 and 125 for girls is like nothing compared to the 185 and 315 for guys. So we enjoyed that workout. I think the guys can say otherwise. That's probably not their favorite workout, but who knows?
That's awesome. So, are you excited to be going to Knoxville, or were you wishing the semifinals were someplace else?
Man, I don't know. Like we've been in Knoxville, like, you know, I did MAC both years. And then before semifinals was in Orlando, which there's more stuff to do in Orlando, which is nice. Like, you know, I use Sunday to go to Disney World. Sorry for all my individual athlete friends that were competing Sunday. I went to Disney World. That's like, you know, the old Super Bowl saying. And, you know, like this year, it's teams are only competing Friday and Saturday. So I don't think anything's going on in Knoxville, unfortunately. So I'll probably end up going to semifinal Sunday and cheering on everyone else competing. But I like it. Like, it's like, you know, that's where like I made my first CrossFit games. So there's like, it's very sentimental to me.
Nice. Nice. So, speaking about teams, I know you guys were pretty adamant on the teams that got disqualified for certain reasons. So, Aaliyah, you want to talk about, what you want to talk about for the teams being disqualified?
I mean, yeah, I know there's been a lot of talk about it and a lot of opinions on it. I guess the thing that frustrates me is that, well, okay, so for people who aren't aware, there were a couple teams that got disqualified from semifinals because the only eligibility requirement for teams this season is that you perform all three open workouts at the affiliate that you are affiliating your team through. As long as all team members do all three open workouts at the affiliate, your team is eligible for the season. There were a couple teams that got disqualified because it turns out they had a member that didn't do every workout at the affiliate. I know, like with the Grit House example, the guy had done the workout at the affiliate, but then he redid the workout, I think at his fire station or something, and got a better score. So he submitted that one. And like, so they, their team is no longer eligible because he submitted a score that he didn't perform at the affiliate in the open. And I understand when people are like, well, he did the first workout, he did it the first time at the affiliate. He just redid it outside of the affiliate. But the thing is, it doesn't matter because the score that he submitted was not performed in the affiliate. And the only score that matters is the one that you submit. So it's like, if you want to be a professional athlete, you have to know the rules of your sport. And it's on you as an athlete and on you as a team. Like the other three teammates, the fact that they didn't say anything like, hey, you can't do this, you need to submit your score from the affiliate, like that's what frustrates me, because it could be very true that he had no ill intent with redoing that workout and submitting the score from the fire station, whatever. And like, okay, if he had submitted his original score, they still would have qualified for quarterfinals. However, that is a specific instance, and the rule has to be able to be applied across the board. So what happens when that happens to a team that's on the cut line? And now you have, well, if they submitted their original score in the affiliate, they wouldn't qualify. But then if they submitted the new score, they would qualify. And now you have to have a different rule, and it can't be that way. It has to be the same rule across the board in order for this to be a professional sport and to be taken seriously. So like, as shitty as it is, because they are a very fit team that would probably have made it to the games this year and done well at the games, as they have in previous years, it sucks, but it's part of keeping the sport professional and moving the sport forward. So that's my thoughts.
Awesome. Kelly, what you got?
Yeah, I actually think that was really well said. I think it's like a devastating mistake, and I really feel for them that like Hannah said, like, they're my friends. I know them. And I know they're like, you know, they're people who like wouldn't do anything with like ill intent or anything like that. And they would be a team that would probably make the games and probably do well there. So it's just like one of those devastating things that was a mistake. But, you know, I agree that like, you know, if we're gonna try and push, you know, this sport into the professional realm, it has to be like, rules have to be finite, you know, like you step on the line on a basketball court. It's not like, oh, he was close to the line, you know, like you stepped on the line, you know, it wasn't like, oh, he didn't mean to step on the line. Like you stepped on the line. It's like, just, it's like one of those things that you like, you have to know the rules, and the rules have to be clear cut and applied across the board without exception. And, yeah, it sucks, because that's just one of those mistakes where, you know, it hurts it, and it's like more devastating because it doesn't just hurt the person that makes the mistake. It hurts like a whole team. So I feel for them, but I also think it's fair to hold the standard and be consistent in the way the rules are applied.
Yeah, definitely. So I know, Hannah, these are your friends too. So, what are your thoughts?
I mean, no, I echo the same sentiments. Like, it's the only rule for team. I mean, I travel over an hour to go to qualify with the team that I'm on. And to think, like, I know friends that, you know, like move to like that move states to go team.
Yeah.
So, like, it is unfortunate. Like, I mean, I know it was harmless. He did it like he did as Firehouse. It wasn't even the score that contributed to the team. Like someone else filled his place because it wasn't fast enough. But like, again, like it's the only rule. I mean, you don't have to live within 100-mile radius or do any of these other things anymore that probably still people like skirt the line but hit that. But I mean, a lot of people are like uprooting their lives to do this, or just like, you know, making big commitments of traveling multiple hours on end to be on a team. There's probably teams out there that, you know, are just hiding it right now. Like, I'm not going to say like there are definitely teams that are flying under the radar that just no one knows probably. But like, at least like if you're going to do that, like try to be like a little bit more like secretive, I guess, but, or don't do that, please. Like, again,
that's the thing that sucks is like, you know, he like posted that video because he was like thinking about like, oh, I didn't do an affiliate with a judge, so I have to submit a video. And he just like, you know, you don't have to submit a video for the open.
Right. Like, no, he was like really like trying to like follow the rules that way, but forgot like the team eligibility rule.
Right.
Which is, it's just like very unfortunate, but again, like a rule is a rule. And like if CrossFit finds out, like, yeah, like
I do think the interesting thing about that, like, I think the interesting nuance to that conversation is that, you know, that because you don't have to submit a video for every open score, they're not checking all of the other teams. So all of the other teams that didn't have to submit a video or prove that they did their workouts at the affiliate could very well not have done workouts at the affiliate. So that, I think, is a questionable part of the way that rule is applied, is that like only if you choose to submit a video can they enforce that rule. That doesn't actually seem like a very fair rule. So on that aspect of it, I think that CrossFit has still some growing to do. Like they still need to, like, either teams have to be required to submit videos or submit proof that they've done it at the affiliate, you know, or they're going to get situations like this where there it's like a big controversy because there's teams that didn't adhere to the rule but didn't get caught because they're not checking on everyone.
Right. No, I 100% like it's and, like, yeah, sorry, you can go. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say that's been an issue with every version of team eligibility that they've had. Like, even when it was you have to train at the affiliate, you know, 70% of the week or whatever it is, and show your Wattify logins and videos and pictures at the gym and blah, 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 all that stuff. There was still teams that weren't following that, but they didn't have to prove it because they didn't get called out on it. The only teams that they were asking for proof from were the teams where people emailed CrossFit and said, hey, this team isn't eligible. And then they would ask for proof. So it's like, is it a rule if you're not enforcing it across the board, or if you're only enforcing it when people bring up questions about it? I don't know.
Right. That gets sticky, you know?
Yeah.
I think that that's, it's definitely like a, I think that puts CrossFit in a, like, it opens them up for criticism, you know, if you if you can't enforce the rule, like.
The way I understand it for this year was that he had to submit a video for that open workout because he didn't perform it in an affiliate. You either perform it in an affiliate and you don't submit a video, or you perform it on a video. And because he wasn't in the affiliate, which is the whole issue in the first place, he had to submit a video. And that's, I think, what raised the red flag about it, was that it was recorded on, like, when he submitted the score, it says, did you perform this in an affiliate? And he said, no.
Right.
Yeah.
And he could have said, yes, he did. And could have had one of the judges, like, whatever, the judge, like, watch the video and say, okay, you're good, and like sign off on it. But like, obviously I don't think CrossFit has the bandwidth to manage to find out every single team that is at the affiliate and training at the affiliate, because like they already cut their staff, you know, beginning of middle of last year, I think, roughly. Yeah. And so like, you're not going to get, like, obviously you're going to get people that like kind of like try to cheat the system. Like it happens everywhere. So
I'm sure there were teams this year with athletes who said they performed a workout at an affiliate that may have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just and put a time.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Pretty much put a time down and didn't even do the workout. I mean, that's a possibility too.
Yeah. So. I mean, like to think it's like, well, is it like to say like, hey, like you, I was like, you have to have video proof. And then, you know, like how like Wattapalooza will only ask for like, now two videos.
Two, yeah.
Like, yeah, like CrossFit can do that. There's not as many teams. And literally, if you can just like line it up and be like, oh, like they don't even have to look at the workout. They can just be like, oh, all four people, it's the same background. And then just like, and just go and move on.
Yeah. They could literally just go to the gym and do a selfie and post it on Instagram. Like all four of them, they're like, hey, check us out. We're ready to train. And then just like, it's like, just be out and do something else.
Yeah. I like, I don't know. There definitely needs to be something though, because like I don't want to like blame any teams, but like if like it happened to those teams, like if they can't be, it's like, I don't think they're the only ones.
No,
they're not the only ones.
Yeah.
It is a hard thing. Like, I don't know exactly how they would solve that problem. That's, you know, unless you require some sort of proof from every team submission, you know, like you have to take a photo or something and submit a photo with your, you know, like at the affiliate. I mean, that could still be cheated, but like, I don't know. You know, like, I don't know what they do. And then are you going to do that? Are you going to go through every team at the open level? Like that's nuts.
That's silly. Yeah. It's silly.
It feels very similar to the situation with I can't remember what workout it was from the open, but the winners, the female didn't have a video to submit.
Oh, the High Rocks, female, whatever.
Yes. Yeah. She got to keep her score, but she didn't get the prize money. But then on the men's side, was it,
it was Tudor Magda.
Tudor submitted his video because he was like, you know, trying to follow the rules, videoing his open workouts. And because of that, he got penalized. His score dropped to like 7,000. And it's like, he would have been better off just saying, hey, I don't have a video. He would have kept his first place. He wouldn't have gotten the money, but he would have kept his first place. And like, he got penalized because he was doing the right thing. And then she didn't have a video. And, you know, in a workout with that many deadlifts, there's bound to be some no reps, as illustrated by Tudor's video. So like, and their argument was, you know, we're trusting the judges at the affiliate, but then why didn't you trust Tudor's judge if Tudor's judge said they were good reps, but on the video you said they were bad reps? Like, right. it's contradictory.
Yeah.
And it's like penalizing people for trying to do the right thing, which is what this guy did from the team of submitting his video because he said he didn't do it in an affiliate.
Right. Yeah.
So it's hard.
Well, hopefully next year, maybe CrossFit will get it right.
I think in the next couple of years, they're going to have like some sort of AI solution where everyone has to submit a video and AI is going to review your video and count your reps and do all the penalties and no big deal.
Yeah.
Or it could be that, like, you know, like team has their own games and it just gets axed from the games as well. It's only individual.
Minimum. Yeah, well, I mean, it's already at that level now because I guess the team competition's only 2 days for the championship. So,
that's for semifinals.
Friday and Saturday.
No, I think it's for finals too. I believe
for the games.
Yes.
Really? I think
did I get it right? Hold on.
I think it's only for semis.
Oh, okay. I think I got it wrong.
It was on the invite for semifinals.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think so.
My apologies.
Right.
Oh, semifinals. That's right. Sorry, I was looking at barbell spin. So, and it's in semifinals. Never mind. JK.
So, awesome.
Yes. Yes.
All right. This is a fake news podcast, right?
Fake news. fake news. Fake news. Anyway. So now I want to go over the individual quarterfinals. So, Aaliyah, you had a great video of the wall ball burpee box overs.
The grief burpees.
Did you do that one already?
Yeah, I started with that one, which retrospect was maybe my best idea.
Why did you do that?
So I knew it was going to be my worst one, and I wanted to get it out of the way. And also leave enough time to redo because I have a really, really bad habit of having to redo burpee workouts.
Oh, no.
It happened last year. The open workout last year with the shuttle run burpee pull-up, I did that workout 3 times.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I was so wrecked from that one. I was sick and I literally couldn't, like, my quads were blown up.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you repeat that do that 3 times.
When I was reading that, I was like, okay, that has to be a workout that that you do like as the last workout possible. I was like, because your legs are so fried from all those from like squatting and jumping and like trying to get up on the burpees. Like, your stories was with you doing the burpee box overs. I was like, oh my gosh, like, why is she doing that first? Like, I don't know. Are your legs okay?
Yeah, I mean, my legs are a little sore when I woke up this morning, but I went and did workout one this afternoon, and after I got warmed up a little bit, I felt fine.
Okay.
It is 150 wall balls, but it's 150 wall balls over the course of 20 minutes. So it's not like you're doing Karen.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's not quite as compounding. And
Or
like
150 burpees.
Yeah, that's what I'm working
30 hours. That's
Yeah.
Oh
all you
yeah, there it
so
is.
there it is. That's the
That's the grief
Oh,
burpees.
grief burpees.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it
Where
just like in my mind it made sense to do that and get it over with, basically.
Yeah.
Hoping I wasn't gonna have to redo it, but I'm gonna redo it. And I was also like, for me, I'm not concerned about doing the lifting one first because I know that even fatigued, I can lift well. So like that's probably gonna be my last workout, and I'm fine with that because I know that I can still move a barbell well even when I'm tired, even when I'm sore. The handstand push-up one I know is going to make me very sore in my shoulders and my traps. It's also a lot on the hands, so like a little bit of concern about ripping, hopefully not. But the concern is always there for that. And then it was really between one and two which one I was going to start with. And I think like mentally going into sprint intervals, like 2 hours after you find out what the workouts are, is just a lot. And I wasn't prepared to do this yesterday.
Yeah.
So it, I don't know, it just seemed reasonable and logical to start with the wall balls and the burpees. And I don't think it was the wrong decision. But I do think that I need to redo it for sure.
No, that's just savage. I mean, A is like you know yourself as an athlete, which is
Yeah.
also very baller. A lot of people don't know themselves as an athlete and then do what like people think they like that is like reasonable, but you need to know what is good for you. But
Yeah.
yeah, kudos to you, girl. I'll be doing that Saturday afternoon and
Yep.
hoping that
One
I
of
it's okay
them.
for the third one.
We can FaceTime each other and do it together.
I'll do that. I'll
I
totally do that.
love that.
Awesome. That's awesome. Hey, so Kelly, so are you doing the quarterfinals right now?
Yeah.
So how's that going for you?
Good. I did three first and then I did one today. Yeah, I just did three first because that's going to be like, I guess like same thought process as Aaliyah. Like that's like the weakness workout for me. It's also like just one of those workouts that I think is going to be, it was super muscularly taxing. And it's one of those ones that I wanted to do fresh. But it's not like something that blew me up for the next consecutive workouts, like recovered really well from it. So it's not, but I wouldn't have wanted to do that after, 150 wall balls and burpees. But my handstand push-ups for me, right? Like my handstand push-ups are especially like strict handstand push-ups are like a weak spot for me. It's something that I'm still working on. And so that's something that I was managing. Like I needed to do that fresh to maximize my performance on that. I can wall ball and burpee all day long.
Well, and to be fair, I didn't actually do 150 burpees, so.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, still, it's getting over getting the triple digits of burpee box jump overs, I think, is
Right.
quite
Yeah,
enough.
that's hard. Yeah, that's definitely hard. So, when you ladies saw the quarterfinal workouts pop up, like what were your thoughts? Because obviously they talked about, this is going to be accessible for, the people that didn't make it to the quarterfinals. It's going to be great for classes and, all that stuff. So when I heard it was like you can incorporate it for a class, I was like, oh, okay, this is I don't know if this is going to be a good program for quarterfinals, you know, skills, but what did you guys think about all the programming?
I was a little worried when they said it was going to be, you know, workouts that the top 25% could do, and workouts that you could run in an affiliate class. I was concerned that it was going to be a watered down quarterfinals this year, but I don't think it is. I think at least one or two of the workouts are going to be challenging to run in an affiliate class. Like the rope climb one, I think is going to be a challenge to run as an affiliate, just because of, you know, you got wall space for handstand pushups. You got people on the rig, you got people on the ropes, you got people on the rings. Like that's just a lot going on. And then I think workout one, having a barbell, a rower, a box and dumbbells is a lot of space. So like to the affiliates that can actually run those in a class, like props to them. That's impressive. But that being said, I do like the programming. I think it's, with only four scores, I think it's a fairly balanced test. I think it will get the right people to semifinals. And that was my biggest concern about what the programming was going to look like, if it was going to be kind of just like an extension of the open, and then it would be just very like cardio based athletes making it through. But I think there is enough in these tests to get the fittest all around CrossFitters to semifinals.
Awesome. Hannah, what you got?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I was pretty concerned about just, yeah, you're running an affiliate, it's four scores. There's very little margin for error with only taking 40 people to semifinals. So I really like the workouts. I know of two affiliates here that ran like workout one today, and like it went off. Like, I mean, I think some people weren't thrilled. but people are having fun. I do think workout two might be a challenge. Like I know with the gym my clinic's in, like we don't have 15-foot ceilings. So if like people can make it like through like 10 strict handstand pushups, which that actually is gonna like bottleneck a lot of people. I don't know what they're gonna do with rope climbs. So that's gonna be like TBD, at least at that location. But
legless rope climbs.
Yes, legless rope climbs, seated legless rope climbs.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Or just like, I don't know, like hold at the top a little bit more.
I'm sure we'll count that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Just like climb back down.
Go back up. Or you just hang out to the rafters and do like 10 pull-ups.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'm going to tell people to do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or at least Saturday. It would be Saturday's workout. But no, like people, like I think it's super cool. I love I think they have a good test of workouts to find the 40 fittest people in the region. So I'm thrilled. I think they're fun. Like I was like on the fence about doing the workouts, and then once they released, I'm like, oh, these are actually kind of they're just fun. So that's why I jumped in today. So
awesome. Kelly, what you got?
Yeah, I think like my first thought when they were released was, oh, these look fun. Like I want to do these, which was a cool feeling to have. That doesn't always happen. So
would you think that cool about the wall balls and burpees?
I like wall balls and burpees. I really like that workout.
No, I like that workout too. It's gonna hurt.
You're all sick.
I almost cried when I saw that one.
Like, you're going to be that grindy slog where you get like halfway through round two and you're like, why am I doing this? I chose to do this.
We paid to do it.
I like that. Yeah, and I mean, I love wall balls and burpees, so like no complaints here. I totally thought that everything looked really fun to me. I think they did a really good job of creating ways to see separation in the field while still giving everyone an opportunity to play. like with that workout three, you know, like three rounds of 10 handstand pushups and 20 toes to bar for time is still a good workout. Like that's not a, you know, like, yeah, it's going to be more sprinty, but, for people who don't have their strict handstand pushups, you know, or muscle ups, like it's still a good workout, even if you're not finishing it. And I think that that's, I think that that's cool. I think like the clean workout, you know, I like barbell ladders because, you know, the fitter you are, the stronger you are, the faster you're going to get there, the more reps you're going to get on the heavier barbell. And yeah, I always wish the barbells are heavier.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
I always want the, but that's me because I like heavy barbells. So like, you know, I have rarely seen a barbell workout that I didn't wish was heavier. So, but I think they do a good job. Like if they had put the heavy workout in workout one, say like, you know, if that snatch was like a heavy barbell, you know, it wouldn't work out the same because no matter how strong you are, there's only so many snatches you can do in a minute. And so I think that the way they set up the clean workout to be the heavy workout, I think there's really an opportunity for the stronger athletes to separate themselves. And yeah, I think I'm missing one. No, I think we talked about pretty much all of them at this point. Yeah, yeah. I think there's, I think they look fun. I've had a few friends say that they like wanted higher skills and heavier weights. And I don't know, I feel like there are heavy things and there's high skill things and there's places to create separation. And I think that stuff is only gonna progress in level of difficulty when you get to semifinals. Like that's what semifinals is for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think.
Go ahead.
Oh, I think Dave had a week in review video where he talked about like, before the workouts came out, he made the comment about, you know, the workouts are going to be accessible and it's just going to be a matter of like how hard you go. Like it was going to be the intensity that makes the difference for the higher level athletes. And like you look at workout one and it's a perfect example of that. Anybody can do workout one.
I am curious.
You're going to do a lot more volume if you're fitter.
Yeah. I am curious to see the results of workout one because I do think that that's going to be like one of those things where like one or two reps is going to be a lot of places on the leaderboard.
Yes, I think that's very true.
Yeah. Do you think so for the men's side, for the barbell workout, do you think instead of doing at 245, if they did it at like 275, do you think that would be a better workout for them? Because I did. So Savon had a Colton Mertens, Taylor Self, Dallin Pepper, and
Jason Hopper.
Jason Hopper. So they did the workout together. Like all four of them got pretty close to the 30 rep range at the 245. And so, do you think if they added it to like 275, do you think it'd be maybe a better workout for everyone, because you know, obviously, with that extra 30 pounds, you know, there'll be less reps, and you'll have like some, you know, crazy weightlifter that can like lift up like more weight, and obviously, they're probably split jerk most of the time instead of push jerk because it's all the energy that's going to be wasted.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I did this workout. I almost failed 165. So, I mean, granted, I'm not the strongest. But it really like, I don't like, I think this is like people who are strong, like get to show that they're strong, but they get this, but you also get to see like their capacity, right? Like I don't, like CrossFit, you're supposed to be good at so many things where I think like, if you just had like a super heavy barbell at the end, it's like, it's still like kind of like, I mean, it already has like a bias, but that would be really like making a biased workout. And then again, with only four workouts and such a smaller field at semifinals, like I think this was like the right choice in weight. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Maybe like if people who get like a bajillion more reps, maybe than me, like, I mean, maybe they think they need to be heavier, but
yeah.
I thought it was
close to 30.
Yeah. I got 30.
Yeah. You got 30. Yeah. I wouldn't have been mad at a fifth barbell.
Yeah. So like, I wouldn't have been mad at 55 and then another rest minute and then max at like 185, well, 275, right. 185.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like 30 reps is a lot, you know, at one barbell, honestly, like that's just going to get boring.
it got sad. You definitely feel sorry for yourself during it. Like I was like trying to go like look at the clock. Okay, I have to go. But maybe like it probably would have been nice. You would have had another rest minute too, which is also kind of nice.
I think that, and they did have a really biased, like that workout three is a really biased gymnastics workout.
True.
Yeah.
It's
only gymnastics. There is no monostructural, no weightlifting. It is only gymnastics.
Nothing else there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, I think that's probably the only thing that I would have said would make quarterfinals better. It would be a fifth barbell.
Yeah, I was, so obviously I'm biased because I am a strength athlete. I would have loved to see a 185 bar, even like a 205 bar. That would have been awesome. Yeah. But
Hannah's like, no.
I'm good with my 30.
I also think it was weird to only jump 10 pounds, go 155 to 165.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a little weird too. Like it probably should have been like 155 to at least 175 or 185.
Yeah, and especially
go ahead.
I was just gonna say the loading was weird this year, and I know that they said they did the loading a little bit differently to make it easier to run as an affiliate. So like the female bars were 85 instead of 95, so you didn't have to have change plates, and like, I understand that. And maybe the 155 to 165 was just for ease of loading and changing weights in a class setting. I don't know. But it's like, there's been a lot of talk about how strong females are getting in CrossFit and how it already seemed not equal across like males versus females when it comes to loading, and now we're going lighter for the females, which seems like the wrong direction.
That's the one thing I'm thinking of is like, I think just like the females in the sport are stronger now, so like saying like we could do like 105, 135, 165, 185, something like that. But it's just like those are like the generic weights of like, all right, well, other than like the 135, 85, but, and even like, I mean, way back in the day, it used to be 185, 135. I really don't know why they made the change to 125, like a handful of years ago. But it's like, all right, well, but like the 225 is typically 155, the 245 is typically 165, which is funny too. Cause like most gyms don't have 15 pound plates too. So you already have the five change plates on with the 155. At most affiliates, like you could have done 95. That's just like you have to have them already. But yeah, I think just the females in the sport are getting stronger. So like maybe like, you know, in the next few years, it's like the female RX just has to go up. Like maybe instead of 70%, it's 72.5 or 75%.
Yeah, I think the women's weights are hard because I do think that that's correct for the top athletes. Like female athletes for sure are much stronger now. But like for the average, when you're thinking about the top 25%, I don't think that's the case.
Right.
I think that they're, you know, they are trying to make it more accessible. I just think that you had, I think the best solution would have been like, maybe a bigger jump between 155 and 165. And then a fifth barbell to like make a head nod to the female athletes that are stronger at the top of the sport.
Would you do a one rep max, or is that too much volume? Would that be just too much for the shoulders and everything?
Yeah, I don't think that workout needed a one rep max. Somebody somebody at my gym mentioned that earlier, like, oh, how cool would it have been to go through that ladder and then you finish with a one rep max, but then you've got two strength scores in a 5-score test, and that's just not okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I don't think there needs to be a one rep max in quarterfinals, as much as I love having a one rep max in quarterfinals.
I want that too.
I don't think we need that in quarterfinals. I think that's something that you save for maybe semifinals, definitely the games, where it's like, okay, we know we have the right people here. Now let's let them show off. But we're still at a point where it's like, we need to get the right people there. And having like the bias that you get from a one rep max just affects the leaderboard so much when you have this many people competing, that with this many people and a tighter cut line, it just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I have a couple more questions I want to ask you guys. So I want to kind of make it quick. So I'm going to cut this one short. So, so obviously with quarterfinals, there's like not much, you know, hype around it kind of. So Sivan is doing this thing called Taylor Self versus the World. So he has Colton Mertens, you know, Jason Hopper, Dallin Pepper. They're all fighting each other to be in the top spot for that whole group. And the winner gets $5,000. And everyone gets paid throughout the whole thing. And I believe Fisa Gaffi, and I don't know who the other person was.
It's Lindsay Lane Wilson.
Lindsay Lane.
Okay. Yeah. So they did a workout against each other too as well, and the winner got $1,000. So, and this is not even part of CrossFit. This is just like a media group that's like an outside media group. So do you think CrossFit needs to do something like this, or would you like to see more outside media do kind of events like this for quarterfinals? And I'll go with Kelly first. So
okay. I guess just thinking out loud, I feel like I don't think CrossFit is the right person or entity to run something like that. As much as cool as that sounds, I think that they would get too many accusations of like playing favorites on which athletes they chose, and like, you know, all of the judging standards, like who's making money, who's not making money. You know, like when you put athletes on the line, I think that CrossFit needs to remain the professional entity. And I think that outside media, like, I think it's super cool that they're doing that. And I think that it speaks a lot to the growth of the sport. I think the more things like that happen, the healthier and the more robust like the whole CrossFit ecosystem are going to be. But I do think it's kind of the outside media, like, is the right place to do that stuff. Just because I think CrossFit can't be in the middle of like playing favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Hannah, what you got?
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think it's so cool, like what Sivan is doing with Taylor Self versus the World. I wish I could have been like, I wouldn't have like won, but it would have been just fun to like throw down in that setting. I think it does depend on, I think, like, you know, like other media outlets that like, say you actually have a training camp and you have so many athletes going through the workout. Some people don't want their score to be out there or be criticized and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think it just depends on the comfort of the athletes or stuff like that. But, yeah, like Kelly said, like, I think it needs to be like an outside entity, and then like CrossFit can always just like reshare and stuff like, hey, like this is something going on in the community, like go over there. And like, and it's really like you're rising all tides at that point.
Yeah. And but the thing is will CrossFit actually repost this stuff?
I mean, I don't know. That's on them, but
yeah,
like,
true.
Like it only helps them.
Yeah. So Leah, what you got? What's your answer?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with what Kelly and Hannah have already said. I think Kelly made a good point about, you know, CrossFit needs to remain the neutral third party. And I think CrossFit also needs to focus on running a fair and well-run competition. And that's not something that they need to be taking time away from to do something like that. when they already have, you know, their small team. you know, they've already cut down on the amount of video review they're doing this year, which I
am not a fan of. Insane. Yeah.
Okay, I will say to that, all four of our videos got looked at. So
okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
That's coming from me. Yeah. All of our scores like validated and looked at. So
okay, good. Yeah. That makes me feel a little better. But yeah, I think they have enough going on during this time period, especially now that quarterfinals and semifinals are so close together. Like they need to be focusing on the competition, not necessarily the fun media side of it. But I do think it's really cool that these third parties are doing this, or outside media, whatever we're calling it. And I think it's a cool opportunity. You know, Hannah said some people might not want their scores known. And so it's something where it's like, hey, do you want to participate and have the opportunity to win some money? Or do you want to, you know, keep your scores close, hold, and be more concerned with like your place on the leaderboard, making sure that you're qualifying, all that kind of stuff, which like I totally understand both sides of it. But it's a cool opportunity to have for the athletes who are interested in participating in that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kelly. Go ahead.
I liked Hannah's thought of like with the training camps, you know, like that would be a super cool thing for training camps to do. You know, it would generate visibility for the training camp. It would get like participation with their, you know, all of their members. And some of those things would be really fun. It would get more excitement around quarterfinals and people doing it to have like a, almost like a, you know, like an affiliate open style thing for like within the training camps that's, you know, you put some media behind, that would be really fun.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. And it's like you said, like, I mean, like Aaliyah says, like you, if you are like concerned and don't want your score out there, just like it's participatory. Like you don't say like, hey, you're not in this. Like, okay. You could just say like, hey, these two heats are going to be the ones that are live stream. Who wants to hop on? And whoever hops on, hops on. Maybe it's only two people. Who knows? Then you only have to run one, and then the media people don't want to work so hard. But I think, I think it's fun. I've always been like a proponent of, I'll give my score out because it's like, I know like there's probably someone fitter than me, but then at some point it's like, okay, you have to still have the fitness to get the score that I got. So that's why I've been like pretty open. And also if there's like, I can win some money, like that'd be like kind of cool if that ever was a chance. So I just think it's just like, again, like it's great things to hype up quarterfinals. It is kind of like this like hidden thing of, oh, like there's just like this weekend people competed. What happened? So I think there could be more that like happens during it.
Yeah, I think they should hype it up a little bit more. Like actually, like do like have, you know, I know Training Think Tank has their own YouTube channel. They could do something like that with their team, or like Misfit Athletics. You know, they could do stuff like that, or like any HWPO if they wanted to do that, or any of like just to get like more content out there. Get more content out there for, you know, their program, as well as like just doing CrossFit and saying, hey, look what these people are doing. They're, you know, this is the quarterfinals to get into the CrossFit like semifinals, blah, 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 then get to the games. You know, this, you know, just it almost feels like before what Savon was doing was like, it was like a weekend of just like no news. Like you don't see really anything. You don't hear much. And then all of a sudden the leaderboard pops up. You're like, bang. Like, for example, like the team competition, like it was like, oh wait, it was a couple days ago. And then all of a sudden the leaderboard pops up and you're like, oh, hey, you know, I mean, there needs to be some media going towards that too, as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even the masters in age and adaptive athletes, just like, just something going out there and saying, hey, you know, these guys are doing quarterfinals. So, you know, check out what, like, you know, Athlete X is doing, you know, check out what, you know, this other person's doing, just to get it out there, because they want to get like what, 30 million members for CrossFit. They have like a blank weekend of no news, no video, nothing. So that's not going to help their cause or even growing affiliates, it's not going to help their cause of having a weekend that's almost dead.
Moving to that, I do think it would be really cool if CrossFit or some other media entity was going into affiliates and doing some coverage on like the average, you know, top 25%, not the athletes that are trying to make semifinals, but the athletes that are, you know, their goal was to make quarterfinals and now they're doing quarterfinals. That would be really cool. And that would be a cool way to grow the brand of CrossFit and the methodology like they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Love
that. The gym that I went to for to do the open, there was only two people that made it to quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. And one of them was me, and I'm not even a member. And there was just one member from that CrossFit gym that made it to quarterfinals. And so I'm like, yeah, I mean, you're going to have a little few people, but like, at least people should celebrate, you know, those people that made it to quarterfinals saying, hey, congratulations, you made it to quarterfinals. Let's cheer you on to see where you can get. And then like post it on social media. I know the gym's Instagram page, they posted, I know it's mainly for like clients coming in, but it's nice to have like, you know, to show an athlete there that like he's the only person that made it to quarterfinals.
I think that would be super cool. Tom, I know that you wanted to bring up like, oh, like you can go beat Dave Castro. Like Dave Castro like actually cared about the open so he could make quarterfinals. Like, yeah, like film Dave going to the affiliate down the road and going to get some of these people. Like, that's so much fun. Like, I mean,
it'd be super fun.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're going to see that, like, you know, these people beat Dave on the leaderboard and could win some GoRuck shoes, but like, let's like put it on the line and actually live stream it.
That would be hilarious. I would love that.
Love that.
People used to watch Roe versus Boz back in the day.
I was just gonna say, yeah. I will always ask for Roe v. Boz to come back. That was so much fun.
I remember one opened. It was Roe v. Boz, them two together, and they had like other people from that gym, or like I think they were at the Rogue Warehouse or something like that, and it was like the first time they were doing walking lunges. And so this one dude, like some rando that they just picked out of like the group, actually beat both of them by like a significant amount. And it's just like, it was awesome seeing that, because like obviously you see just them two working out, but then they just add in somebody else, and then both of them got smoked. So it's always like fun to see, you know, how they work out, because obviously watching elite athletes like yourself do it, it's like, you know, it's great because they see your time, you're like, holy shit. But then like seeing an average person do it, it's even better, because then like, okay, this person broke it up here, or this person broke it up there. So I don't know.
Like the community heat in the open. So glad they brought that back.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I had another question, but I mean, it's okay. HWPO bought DecaComp. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. And so I don't know. Is Pat Veller an HWPO athlete now?
I mean, technically, yeah, he would be.
Apparently so.
I guess he is.
Yeah. Well, now they can get someone on the podium now. So
dang.
Anyway, enough about
we'll
that.
See, we'll
so,
see.
But anyway, so it's getting time to do our final thoughts. So for the ladies that haven't done this before, so we just kind of go over what our thoughts through like last month or the open quarterfinals, whatever you want to talk about, go for it. So Hannah, I'm going to have you go first, because you haven't been first on anything, so I apologize for that. So here you go.
It's okay. I'm a usual on the podcast, so no, you're courteous to your guests, but hopefully we can make this like maybe like a thing that happens more often.
I like this. I ain't gonna lie. So,
but, no, I'm excited for the rest of quarterfinals. I'm definitely gonna ask these girls what they got, 'cause I'm in the East and I'm also a team athlete. So, and just like, I love seeing like just the shakeups and all of those things. Yeah. I guess like the one other thing is I'm kind of bummed that we only get 2 days, the workout for teams at semifinals. Like, again, like I think I like mentioned earlier, like I hope our registration fee goes down. If we're only competing 2 days, I doubt it will.
Probably not.
Yeah. but I was like, I don't know. Like I kind of like having 3 days of competition. It's fun. So I would like more clarification why that happened, but that's about it.
Okay. Leah, you're next.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see if the individuals are going to be only 2 days, like teams Friday, Saturday, individuals Saturday, Sunday. I don't know. Or if it's going to be 3 days. So that'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I've had a lot of fun with this season so far. I'm really excited about the quarterfinals workouts. Really excited to do 3 and 4. Those are probably my favorite ones. And yeah, this is a lot of fun. I'd be down to do this again.
Awesome. Awesome. Kelly, what you got?
Yeah, this was super fun. I'm really enjoying the season. It's looking different for me, and I've like come into the season very differently than I have in the past. So it's cool to just like really be enjoying the season. I really like the programming so far for, you know, maybe with the exception of that extra barbell on the clean and jerk workout. Yeah, that but otherwise, like, I think the programming has been fun. I'm enjoying myself. This conversation was super fun. I would love to continue the chat in the background and do this again.
Awesome. All right, so my final thoughts, first of all, I want to thank you ladies for doing this. I know this is kind of, for Aaliyah and Kelly, this is not normal to do this. So Hannah and I, it's just like, yeah, whatever. Okay. Yeah, cool. What day you got? Okay. We'll do it. But, I want to congratulate Kelly for getting on seminar staff. That is a feat that a lot of people, never get the chance to do. And so you get a chance to do it, which is so cool. And I would love to see, you know, a video of you, like, you know, coaching and cueing people, of, you know, being the best coaches, athletes, they can be for other athletes, for them to coach. So it's really cool. Hannah, I congratulate you on getting that chiropractic business going at your gym. So that's awesome. I know your YouTube channel is going to blow up soon with the feet pics.
I think my, like, you can find me with the same handle as my Instagram. So if you want to see, it's just me doing a lot of fitness video, or not fitness videos, but like rehab stuff.
Yeah,
I'll go through you.
Foot, like, you know, exercise or drill.
Just need to change the music a little bit. So,
oh, dude, I don't even know. I only chose one and moved on. So I don't
but Leah, I want to congratulate you moving to Nevada into that little tiny house and just like finding in coaching with Sean Sweeney and getting another view on coaching. You know, people from different areas, like small towns or whatnot, and, you know, and getting, you know, a taste of a different CrossFit gym compared to Cobra Command. So I congratulate you on that, and I congratulate all three of you ladies making it to semifinals and killing it, because I know the women's division is tough. It is really tough. So, but I'm looking forward to that. But I did love this outnumbered thing. So when I connected with you guys and like said, hey, you guys want to do this, I immediately thought of like outnumber, and I literally, that thumbnail I sent you guys literally took me about like 15 hours, like a good like 5 to 6 hours, like, to do, because I'm like, okay, how am I gonna do this? Like, and then like I'm lying in like the picture of me like putting my arm out, I'm literally lying on my bedroom floor with my phone on the wall, and like I'm laying on the carpet just doing that, and I'm like, okay, I'm recording, and I'm like, should I do this? Or like do stupid faces just to make it look good. And I'm like, okay, I went with this one. And then like just mixing everything together. And like, I literally asked like 5 other people that, like, not you guys, but like other people that like, that know I do a YouTube channel. Like, what do you think about this? And they're like, it looks too busy in the back. Okay. I'm like, all right. So I changed it. And I'm like, I literally used like Dolly, which is an AI generated image thing, if you're the background. Cause I was just like, I need to figure out something. So, but yeah, this is a lot of fun. I definitely would love to do this more often. And for everyone watching this, thank you for tuning in, and we out.